you just recognize that whoever was alive in that day heard a gospel that applied to them in that day, that time, that point of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of the Word of God was still taking place. He goes on to say it was by faith that Abel pleased God and was saved. Now that's true. But Abel wasn't putting his faith in Jesus Christ who died, was buried, and rose again. If you time travel and ask Abel, he couldn't tell you what the Messiah's name was. And he didn't have a concept of the death, burial, and resurrection on the cross or anything like that. But what he did understand was when mom and dad sinned, God killed an animal to give him a coat and shed the blood of that animal. And so when I have sin and I approach God, I need to kill an animal.
Yep. Amen.
I had somebody argue with me that the sin of Cain wasn't that he brought a salad, but it was because he didn't have faith. I said, that's not really... It's half true, I guess, or sort of true, but the truth is, he brought the salad because he lacked faith. See? So, Abel's offering was not of faith, which is why he brought a salad. Abel's offering was by faith, which is why he brought an animal with blood. But Abraham did not believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Why did I say, well, I should have read the rest of the quote. It was by faith that Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Abraham offered Isaac and was ready to kill him. Thankfully, God stopped him. But we're told in Hebrews, Abraham believed that if he had killed Isaac, that God was going to resurrect him.
Amen.
So he believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Isaac.
Yeah.
That's what the text says. And yet, preachers and teachers tell you that Abraham believed the same gospel we did. Now, they get it because in Galatians 3:8 it says, in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's the gospel preached to Abraham. It's not the same gospel we preach. If I go out and preach, in Abraham shall all nations be blessed, I just left you to go to hell. Because in this dispensation, that's not enough. But in Abraham's dispensation, that was as much as he'd been given. And so he believed God, he believed that, and he was counted righteousness by faith. That is not the gospel Paul preached.
Amen.
And I'm sorry, if you somehow can twist and say it is, you're insane.
Amen.
But the good news up until Abraham's own day was that. Rice goes on to say, some people foolishly believe that in Old Testament times people were saved by animal sacrifices or by circumcision or by keeping ceremonial laws. And he's right. They weren't saved by those sacrifices. He goes on to say, no, all the sacrifices, all the forms of worship were simply object lessons pointing to Jesus Christ. Amen!
Yeah.
And if he would preach that, he would have been right. Because that's the truth. Wherever you lived prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, whatever revelation you'd received, you had an obligation to believe God and believe up to whatever point it had been revealed what was going on. And they were object lessons. We're going through the book of Leviticus in office studies. And Brother Brian isn't with us today for other obligations, but if he's watching online, we gave a hillbilly holler out to Brother Brian. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then it means you're not watching our office studies. But we've gone through Genesis, Exodus, now going through Leviticus, verse by verse. And in Leviticus, in our latest study, we've been talking about this, but we've been talking about it from the very beginning. And we talked about it in Exodus, about how that the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the shed blood, all that pictures the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. But they didn't understand what we understand. They didn't have that much light. So that much is true, what he said there. Works demonstrated faith. You weren't saved by those works. Don't tell me you believe God and bring a salad. It's that simple. But this is not true. He then says in Acts 10:43, Peter, coming for the first time to speak to a Gentile household about Christ, said, to him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Again, that's true. They said there's going to come a Messiah, and one prophet described it here, another there, and they all described together collectively the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and said that if you believe in Him, but they didn't know who Him was. And they didn't understand that the death would be by crucifixion on a cross. And then he says this. Peter says that in all ages, every prophet of God taught the same plan of salvation. That's not what Peter said. And he goes on to say, that one who trusted in Jesus Christ had his sins forgiven. They didn't even know his name. How are they supposed to know that? But see, it makes it real easy. I'm going into some detail, explaining it to you right now. But if I believed that, I'd be moving on. We wouldn't have to be having this conversation, would we? And that's how a lot of guys do it. Take that easy route. So no one even knew the name of Messiah would be Jesus. There's no way that statement is true. And Peter didn't actually say that. Peter never says that. Peter says that in all ages, every prophet of God taught the same plan of salvation. In all ages, the prophets pointed to a future Messiah, but never preached the same plan of salvation as we do today. It's just a biblical fact. Salvation by faith involves a different object in each dispensation. Do you realize we walk by faith and not by sight? Amen?
Amen.
That's not true during the millennium. He's sitting right there on the throne in Jerusalem. You walk by sight. It wasn't true in the garden. Jesus is right there walking with the first Adam. The second Adam is right there with Him. That's how simple dispensational understanding is. But what you need to major on is this dispensation. Amen? But Hebrews 11 explains this. Scripture is Scripture. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's by faith. Hebrews 11 explains that, but not in the gospel of Jesus Christ even before Jesus came. I'm going to read the first six verses there in Hebrews 11. You can read the even with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So that's how simple it is. By faith we are born again in this dispensation by faith. Amen?
Amen.
But it's as we believe in the gospel of the grace of God, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This was not true of Adam before or after the fall. It was not true of Abel. It was not true of Enoch, as we just read here. They had faith and they demonstrated that faith, but it was not in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so forth. So now pick up verse 7. Read the odd verses this time with me. Start with me in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So you see, they're all by faith, but not once does it say is by looking forward to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not once. It's just been an amazing thing. For 30 years, I've heard preacher after preacher teach that. And once in a while, you hear one that teaches what you're hearing this morning. But so many of the preachers I've heard over the years will say that stuff. And it's misleading. And it's confusing. Johnny?
I just think it's an interesting point to add here. Because you know, they never even knew Jesus' name in the Old Testament. And there's even a part where Jacob actually fights with Jesus. And he asked him his name, and Jesus won't tell it to him.
Yeah. And every time God gave a name in every dispensation, he changed it. Yeah. Why? Because he was progressively revealing himself that would culminate in the coming of Jesus Christ. Elohim became I Am, Exodus 3. Which then became the Tetragrammaton, which is four syllables that the Orthodox won't even pronounce. But we hear Yahweh or Jehovah or Jehovah. And then later he added, then there are times where he added suffixes to Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, and that sort of thing. What was he doing that for? He was trying to show you that there's not a name that can encompass him. He called himself the I Am. We're going to talk about that in our proverb devotional here pretty soon, if you tune in for that. But so what about Paul's warning against preaching another gospel? I have to throw this in here because I know some people will ask. Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Oh, I left a few words out there, didn't I? And that's what these preachers and people will do when they're trying to prove that Paul preached the same gospel as everybody else. Some of you aren't paying close enough attention to realize I did that, are you? That's why you better pay attention when someone's teaching you, because they'll pull that stuff on you. And when you're talking to people, you better pay attention. They'll leave out parts they don't want you to hear. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Why did Paul say that? Because Paul was preaching the gospel of this dispensation, the gospel of the grace of God. He was not preaching the gospel preached to Adam in the garden. He was not preaching the gospel that was given to Noah and Noah preached. He was not preaching the gospel that will be preached during the Great Tribulation, the everlasting gospel in Revelation 14. He's not preaching the same gospel you're going to hear during the millennium. But what gospel did they, the apostles, preach to us? We just read it, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. And that's the gospel in this dispensation that you'd better be preaching, because if you preach another one, you're accursed. But if you were to preach the gospel we're preaching now during the millennium, you'll be accursed. If you're to preach this gospel and you were to somehow figure it out and preach it back when Noah was around, you tell people, oh, you're saved. You don't need to get on the ark. Jesus has paid it up. They all die if they listen to you. Yeah, see how it messes everything up? So in this dispensation, preaching any other gospel than that which we read from 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4 is cursed. In this dispensation, preaching the gospel preached to Abraham, for example, is insufficient and cursed. Was right in Abraham's day, wrong today. Teachers that do not rightly divide will always get this wrong. You just listen to somebody who either blows off dispensations or doesn't believe dispensations, you'll hear them get this wrong. It's just a matter of fact. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you don't rightly divide, you won't be a dispensationalist. And if you're not, you'll be ashamed when you stand before the Lord and give an account for the words that come out of your mouth. We have a chart. You can get it online for free. Go to bbfohio.com, resources, charts, and you'll see all kinds of charts. And this is one of them. 7 biblical dispensations. So then we come back to our text and close in verse 34. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. This was true even of the prophets who prophesied of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection before His birth. We read David, Psalm 22. We read Isaiah 53. But you know, they did not understand. They preached what God told them to preach. They spoke the words of God, but they didn't even understand. Well, we all do that if we preach faith. There's one God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're not three gods, but one God in three persons. I have no idea what that means.
Yep.
I really don't. I mean, if you want to get down to the brass tacks on it, I can't really explain that to you. But I believe it. Because the Bible says the Father is God. The Bible says the Son is God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is God.
Amen.
But the Bible says there's not three gods.
Amen.
The Bible says there's one God.
Amen.
And the Bible says that they are one. 1 John 5:17 in your King James Bible, they cut it out of your new versions. But in your King James Bible, 1 John 5:7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one." Other times where Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," and there are other places where we're speaking the same thing. But I don't understand that. I can't explain it to you. So again, Scripture was Scripture. The prophets faithfully delivered the message, but did not understand it. And this is our final reading. So a few of you can wake up. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. And the context is right above there that Peter is talking about the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, that it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom ye have not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now read the even with me, beginning verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Those prophets didn't understand it. It says right there, they inquired and searched diligently. Even though they prophesied the gospel to come, they prophesied about a Messiah who would come and die. They prophesied of the Messiah who would die but be resurrected. But they also prophesied of the Messiah who would conquer and rule. And so they didn't understand how all that was going to work out. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. They had no idea. He didn't even understand Daniel's 70 weeks that we understand. We have the privilege of hindsight. We have an entire testament called the New Testament they didn't have. And then after talking about His sufferings and the glory that should follow, look what it says there in verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. See, who preached the gospel? The apostles. Not the prophets of the Old Testament. They prophesied of what would happen to Jesus, but they didn't preach the gospel. And not only the prophets, but who else? Angels. They don't understand it either. I don't think they understand it still. They know Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. They see all these saints constantly come up to heaven, and as soon as they die, they're present with the Lord. You can imagine those angels up there looking at all that rejoicing going on in their presence. The Bible says it's not the angels rejoicing. It's in the presence of the angels. Angels looking around watching all this going on for 2,000 years now.
Yep.
And there's one of them up there, I'm sure, saying, "What in tarnation?" I don't know, but they're sure happy about it. denying this clear biblical truth and ignoring dispensations has been behind most of the divisions between Christian churches. Noah Hutchings wrote a book, Why So Many Churches? We've got it in our library. I picked that up, have no idea that he was going to point it out, but he did. Had Noah, and I heard his voice the whole time reading it.
Amen.
And he shows dispensations. You ignore that, you end up all over the place. But everybody who believes in dispensations, we all have that core agreement. There's differences because there's human beings, but that core understanding and agreement in dispensations. That's why we don't baptize infants and claim that it's the replacement of circumcision. That's why we don't call ourselves Israel. We believe we're the church. Israel is Israel. And so forth and so on.
When you go out and witness to people, oftentimes people will use this phrase, "My God is the same yesterday, today, or forever." I said, "But you're not."
Yeah. And God doesn't change, but His dealings with men do. The fact that I'm the same Greg Miller that I was before I was saved doesn't change the fact that I am now a new creature. Yeah, I'm the same Greg Miller, but things have changed. My relationship with the Lord is totally different. And it goes the other way with God. He's the same, but His relationship with man, His dealings with man change. And to demonstrate, this is one of the verses you'll find in that book by Noah Hutchings, Romans 16:17. "But now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses." And it doesn't say anything about fighting over a color of carpet. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you're a Buckeye or a Wolverine. It doesn't have anything to do with any of those things. It says the divisions and offenses are contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned and avoid them. And that's what has caused the divisions. Those divisions will disappear at the rapture. Amen? So thank God for giving you clarity on the gospel and eternal salvation by grace through faith.
Amen.
Major on the gospel.
Amen.
I tell everybody, try to explain this. It won't take too long. We're coming right up on the time. I want to close this, but we are hardcore. In my home and in this church fellowship, we're hardcore. King James only. Don't give me any of that other garbage. But when I walk outside, if I know there's a brother in Christ, he's carrying an NIV, I still love him. He's saved. If he's saved, he's saved. And I can fellowship with him. I can pray with him. And if the subject comes up, I'll tell him how I feel about the translations, and I'll be nicer than I am normally here. I was out one time, a group, and there was a couple of guys used the NIV with us, and several of us. Stop in the restroom, guy comes out, and one guy, I'll call him Jeff. Jeff had his NIV with him, and one of my King James buddies comes out and he says, "Hey Jeff, can I use your NIV? They're out of toilet paper." Now we're friends, so we laughed, but be careful with those kind of jokes. Major on the gospel, and you know what? You start talking about even these important issues. Once you see they're not really hearing you and they just want to argue, just drop it. Pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for them. Might be a time they'll call you up and say, "Man, I've been noticing this. I'd like to... You remember you tried to tell me about that?" That's happened to me numerous times. You tried to tell me about that and I got mad at you? I said, "Yeah, you're a punk." "Well, besides that, I'd like to talk to you." Yeah. But you know what? That's how you got to pray, and their heart has to be ready. Don't plant seeds on concrete. The gospel itself, sometimes it's best just to try to witness to them in another way before you try to preach the gospel, because they got a concrete heart. So major on the gospel while carefully reading and studying everything in the book. Take this whole book, the whole book,
amen,
every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen?